And you don't remember driving the, so shot the post office lady, I think, took her van and was driving it. He's the one that pulled his car in front and blocked him, and he and his partner are the ones that returned fire and saved the lives of who knows how many others. This boy was shot in the left hand, and I've never heard this term before, shot his knuckles off. I don't know how that happens. Shot in the right arm, and it's 27 pieces of glass in his left eye. So he will go through multiple surgeries and may end up losing his left eye anyway. His life is not threatened. More than likely, he will no longer be a police officer. 28 years old. With children at home. But I don't think we appreciate, unless you've been involved in it, what a police officer, what a fireman, even in the nursing and the emergency room. I mean, ER and all those shows look really nice. If you've never been in a room where they brought somebody in cut and bleeding, a gunshot wound or something like I have, you don't know what you missed, and you really don't want to see it. What is your name? Mr. Knipe? Owen? It looked like they were staging for a war invasion. With all up at Disney, they had, I was at 1,400 trucks, pole trucks and stuff. Now, your husband is not going to be involved in something like that. He just puts up traffic lights. So, I mean, not just, but I mean, he's not that emergency kind of. Really? Recently? Oh, I didn't even hear that. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, they may aggravate you till you need them. But all of a sudden, you're glad to see them. In the book of Isaiah, we go to chapter 45. Isaiah 45. Now, this is going to be, I got too much information for 1 hour. And it's going to be confusing to you unless I do a job very well, which I usually don't. We're in the book of Isaiah, okay? Now, Isaiah began his ministry of prophecy and teaching and warning. I need a wet rag. Chuck, I need a wet rag, please. Or spray that spray stuff. I don't know where that is. Best thing is rubbing alcohol, and I don't have any. Isaiah began his ministry in 740 B.C. 740 B.C. is when he began B.C. is when he began to write. Now, you think he's not a prophet? Go with me on this. There's two different approaches I'm going to make on this same topic. 45 verse 1. This is what the Lord says to his appointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of, to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armor. Now, start off with, God has in the past, and no doubt in my mind, will in the future, use people who are not believers or followers of him to do his task. Cyrus the Great was a Persian. We call Persia what? Iraq today. Iran today. He was a Persian. He was picked. Kind of, you got to trade him a little better. You raced off what I just put up. Oh. When I dry it off. Our maps flow. Now, here in America, and particularly the whole Eastern nation, we think, well, you know, we've been around 200 years, there was nobody here before us. Well, wrong. We had the Indian tribes and the Indian nations, et cetera, before that. And you can do the other one later, Chuck. And during lunch. But it's not. If anybody ever heard of the Mayans and the Incas and all the mid and South American Indians, those were great civilizations well over 1,000 years ago. Now, where are they now? They're under bushes. The trees have grown over those big monuments they built and the places they sacrificed stuff. So there are changes. I would have to guess that in some parts of the active parts of the world, there have been maybe 10 to 30 different types of leaderships in those areas. I mean, before Abraham, it was the Chaldeans were there, and there were other tribes before them, and other tribes before them. Abraham came, and not until really after coming back from Egypt was there really a hard and fast civilization there. But Israel hasn't always controlled Israel. You had all of Israel, then you had just Judah, and then the Romans, then the Syrians came in, and then the Babylonians came in, then they came back, and then the Greek under Alexander the Great came in, then after him came the Romans, then came the Bedouins, really, or they like to call themselves, what is that Qasidiyya woman call it? The Palestinian nation. There's never been a Palestinian nation. There's been Palestinian people. Palestinians were there, and then the Turks came in, and we go on from that till I guess Israel again in 1948. So things change, continually change. I do believe, and we are shown this several times in the Bible, that God has used non-believers involved in this change. Judah used to be Israel. It's just the two. Go ahead. Find me that the nation of King David's time or Solomon's time. Judah used to be all of Israel. And the northern 10 tribes worshiped the false gods. So God sent in the Assyrians, who were just brutally bad people. And he just wiped them out, spread them out. And that's why they call them the lost 10 tribes of Israel, because they would never reassemble. They assimilated some with the people that came. Some of them went and assimilated with the Jews and the Hebrews in Judah, the southern two tribes, but they never became a strong people. After that period of time, God had enough. And that's the period we're reading about now. And he sent the Babylonians in under Mr. Nebuchadnezzar. And he, remember, just disassembled Jerusalem, disassembled the temple, and took the Hebrews that were educated, healthy, people he wanted to use in his slaves, but his also leaders. Most of Nebuchadnezzar's leaders in his community, in his administration, were not Babylonians. He got the smart ones from everybody he conquered. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, you have heard those names. So, they were there I got a date written down. I got dates written down all the place. He came in 586. Now, we're getting invitation right here written when? 740 B.C. Nebuchadnezzar came in 586. Cyrus, right here we're talking about, came in 539. So from 740 to 539 is 201 years difference. Isaiah is reaching out 201 years in his prophecy, right like that. And then he came in. Oh, okay, but that's not what I want. I want a map. But that'd be fine. We're good with that. But you're way too early. We need to go later. We're in a 5-7. Try to get down to 740 in that area and a little bit farther. So we say, well, what does he mean here by, I'm going to read this, his anointed one? Well, God several times mentioned more than one place has anointed other leaders. Anybody ever heard the story of Esther? Well, Esther was married to, what was his name? Remember the king's name? Xerxes. Xerxes is the fifth successor to Cyrus. So we know that period of time that she was involved in. So God has picked out people that he's anointed to specifically do a task. Chapter 44, verse 28 says, Who says to Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and will accomplish all that I please? He will say to Jerusalem, let it be rebuilt, let it be rebuilt, and of the temple, let us lay its foundations. So we're looking at 201 years prior to the invasion from Nebuchadnezzar, that God has already told the writer who he's going to send. Quite significant of that. And he did that. He goes, we'll go on and read this. He will subdue the nations before him and strip kings of the armor. Well, he went in and wiped out Babylon, which had wiped out several other nations to become what it was. They just took what they wanted. Not a whole lot of Henry Kissingers in those days. To open the doors before him so the gates will not be shut, I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down the gates of bronze. I will cut through the bars of iron. And Cyrus did that. And it wasn't until Cyrus related that he knew he had been told by the God of Israel. He didn't say God of Israel. They assigned him to who they belonged to, the God of Israel, that he's going to do this. And he saw what God had wanted him to do. And he had conversations with Daniel and the likes. And he said, I'm going to let him go. And Cyrus wrote a big, long treaty between he and Israel of how he was going to send them, going to send their leaders, going to pay their way, and pretty much gave a universal passport that whatever the Jews wanted, the Jews would get, or the Hebrews, or the Jews. So that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summoned you by name. Now remember, this is written over 200 years prior to the event. Well, you got to think, if somebody's telling Cyrus, hey, we knew you were coming, we've been waiting for you. What do you mean you've been waiting for me? Here's your name in the book, Cyrus. Now the great part, I don't know that God actually called him the great, but the first five of the leaders of Persia called themselves the great. Cyrus the great, Darius the great, Xerxes the first the great, Darius the second the great. They kind of liked that title. You thought they were all ball players or something, wouldn't you? So I'm going to get you ready. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen, I summoned you by name and bestow on you a title of honor. Well, now, this isn't the only time in the history to do with Israelites that this happened. The first 200 years of, about 250 years of the Christian era after the ascension of Jesus, the Christians were just like how Paul, remember Saul used to chase them down and arrest them, and they would be arrested and persecuted and crucified and all like that. Until finally a new king came, and he was fighting to take over. And he saw a vision coming before him of a big red cross on a white shield. So he painted all of his men's, had them paint their shields with a big red cross and white on their shield. And they won the battle, and defeating a tremendously outnumbered by Persians. There we go, the Persians again, outnumbered by them. And that's when he gave legitimacy and made legal the Christians that were being persecuted, and pretty much, as some authors say, probably destroyed any hope the Christians ever had of becoming pure Christians, because a lot of people knew that they were going to be given preferential treatment for being called Christians and converted in name only. He was very, 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 very bright. It was actually his mother that took the money and went over to Jerusalem and started finding a lot of the sites that supposedly even the birthplace of Jesus, she found out and had a memorial built there, and then later they built a church over top of it. So God has appointed different people all along. I've told you before, I still do not question the fact that one of the main reasons America got involved in World War II, and if not World War II happened because of this, I mean, there were evil people. Adolf Hitler was not a nice guy. You would not want to have him over for brunch. But unless you serve. There we go. We're green. We're good. We're live. Live action. Somebody be in charge of throwing these away. Huh? There you go. There you go. Oh, that's sweet. Now, let me explain something to you. Now, Persia now, the Iran area, is not covering all of this because they do not consider themselves. Matter of fact, they are not of the same race as the Iraqis. The Iraqis are Arabs. The Persians are not Arabs. They're Persian. It's a different race completely. And all that year, remember all the war we had back 20, 30 years ago before 9/11 or 9/11? Before that they were basically the Arabs were fighting. All of Muslims, Arabs fighting the Persians. Huh? Fighting one another. Even the line of putting their young children up in the front, yeah, and gassing each other, etc. So it was
two different types of Muslims.
One was a Sunni, and one was a Shiite Muslim. One group believed that anybody could be a Muslim leader. One group believed you had to be a direct descendant of Muhammad to be a Muslim leader. Yeah, there was a difference. But they were still in the same religion fighting each other, but kissing cousins type of thing, I guess. I don't know. Evil is evil. So we go on. I have summoned you by name and bestow you on a title of honor, though you do not acknowledge me. Well, up to this time, till he conquered Babylon and found out about the Hebrews, he probably didn't even know they were there. They were slaves his entire life. They'd been there over 65 years, so he didn't know. It didn't affect him at all. I am the Lord, there is no other apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have no knowledge of me, so that from the rising sun to the setting of to the place of its setting, men will know there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is no other. Back to what I was going to say. I think our involvement in World War II was so important. Not because we stopped Nazism, because, I mean, quite honestly, that was a very big deal. But the result of that, the satellite, the byproduct of that, is that Israel was opened up for the Hebrews, for the Jews, who had been stolen and taken out of there and disseminated all over the world, to come back to reestablish as a nation. Now, I don't know who the oldest one in here is, but if you're over, you'd have to be 85 or 90 to remember that. Probably older than that, so you probably wouldn't remember. 1948. When was that? That's 52 plus another 20, 72 years ago. You'd have to be about 80 or 90 years old to remember the politics of it. And it wasn't easy, because they established something that a lot of people didn't want, was the nation of Israel. But it was brought back together. And if you read Daniel, particularly if you read Revelation, the Jews had to control Jerusalem. The second coming is involved in Jerusalem. It just simply is. When we finish up with the New Testament, my next goal is to preach on Sunday mornings, preach our way through the book of Revelation. And I'm not talking about there's a demon, there's a dragon, there's... No, I'm talking about point by point, word by word. And how much... I think I did that about 9 years ago. And how much the world has changed. And how much more seems a lot more understandable than what we did 9 years ago. So, you didn't know me? Those soldiers going over to fight the Nazis, landing on D-Day, et cetera, they weren't doing it so we can bring the Jews back. That wasn't even a thought. A lot of them had never even heard about Dachau and Auschwitz and all the different places. They were going to fight for their country. So you didn't know me, but I'll strengthen you. And if you study, several of you all like history as much as I do, well, almost as much as I do, well, probably not nearly as much as I do. If you study, we were crazy to fight them. We had no chance. They were armorized. We didn't have hardly a working battleship or submarines. Anything was worth anything compared to what the Germans had already developed, built up. Our men weren't trained. We didn't have enough guns and stuff. Up in Griffith, you've been there. There used to be a car manufacturing plant. They were making tanks. They went from cars to tanks. We didn't even have a tank manufacturing plant. So, P-47? They were doing a lot of dodging too. There was a P-47. That was a bad old plane there. Do y'all know the lady that sits up front? We had her 99th birthday, Rebecca. When's her 100th birthday? It was in January, something like that. She used to work on planes. I'm talking about the little bitty lady. She used to crawl them inside the engines and put them together. A couple of us couldn't do that. Crawl or get in an engine. So from the rising sun to the setting of this place, men may know there is none beside me. I am the Lord. There is no other. I form the light and create the darkness. Look in the book of Genesis. We see that right there. Let there be light. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, will do all these things. You heavens above, rain down righteousness. Let the clouds shower it down. Just not for a while. Let the earth wide open, let salvation spring up, let righteousness grow. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him who quarrels with his maker. What does it say? Never argue with a fool, or people won't know which one's which. Why do we argue with God? But we often do. We know there's things we should do. We choose not to. Paul says, that which I must do, I do not, and that which I would not do, I do. So quite frequently, we make decisions that are very poor decisions. And yet we keep on doing it. To him who is, the word is potsherd, it means a broken piece of pottery. To him who is a potsherd, does the clay say the potter? Or what are you making? Does your work say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what have you begotten? Or to his mother, what have you brought birth? We question sometimes things that we should not question, but should accept it. It's very difficult at times. And there are a lot of political things that make no sense to us, both on a physical matter and then on a spiritual matter. And sometimes those two things don't agree, the spiritual matter and the physical matter. Who do we choose? Well, it should be God, of course. This is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel, its maker, concerning things to come. Do you question me about my children or give me orders about the work of my hands? It is I who made the earth and created mankind above it, upon it. My own hand stretched out the heavens. I marshaled their starry host. Somebody makes you a birthday cake. And they're real happy and they bring it to you. He says, really nice birthday cake, but I don't like strawberry. I prefer chocolate chip. And the icing is too runny. I don't like it either. And vanilla ice cream, who likes vanilla ice cream? Beside that, I can't eat off plastic forks and spoons anyway. You're laughing, Linda. That's happened to you?
We've experienced somebody saying that.
Oh. Well, I made that mistake once. June of 1970. You want to tell the story, Beck?
Nope. Turn
lawyers.
Janet, you want another story? As a young newlywed couple, I came home from work one day, and Becky meets me at the door with a big smile on her face and a plate of, were they oatmeal cookies? They were oatmeal cookies. And I made the very unintended slight by saying, well, these are nice, but they're not as good as my sister makes them. I don't blame either. I wished I hadn't said it. It was on our 25th anniversary before she ever baked me more oatmeal cookies. She taught our daughter to do it. But it took
her.
Oh, is that what you said?
Were they better after 26 years?
Oh, they were great. Absolutely, positively great. My mother was always in a hurry to cook. She underbaked everything.
At our other churches, I've always kept it the nursery, and it's usually on the door, on the way out, people would come by, and they'd go, and I go, oh, no story.
See, it's a true story. Why argue with the Maker, he says. I will raise up Cyrus. In my righteousness, I will make all his ways straight. He will rebuild my city and let the exiles free. Now, we're talking about 200 and some years prior to Cyrus being the captor of Babylon. But yet, he knew, God knew who he was going to use. And he let the Jews have that much period of time. Why didn't he, if he knew he was going to do it, why did he bother to have Babylon come in and capture him anyway? You ever think about that? Why did he bother to have Babylon come in? Why did he just straighten him out? Any of y'all ever get a switching? You've had a switching? You know what a switching is, right? That's a branch off a tree. Yeah. Well, several of them. You didn't learn from the first one? I learned from the first and the second and the third one. That was enough. But God had to give him a switching. I guess you could call it a timeout. Because they worshiped so many false gods in those 200 years of time. He said, I've had enough of this. So Babylon came in and just wiped them clean. Took the temple down. Took it apart. And then after they had their timeout period, and they got their act together, he sent his servant, Cyrus, a non-Jew, get that understood, a non-Hebrew, please understand that, to go in and to facilitate. Now, Cyrus didn't go carry the brick and the mortar, but he facilitated it. Cyrus did not live a whole long time after he freed the Jews. And next followed him a man who had been his governor of the region of Babylon area. His name was Darius. Now, Darius was a businessman. He became governor, but he didn't follow everything and know everything that Cyrus had done. And when the assistants came to him who did not like the Hebrews, who saw, quote, the hemorrhaging of the finances going to Israel, said, wait a minute. We don't even know why these Jews are getting all this money. Nobody cared for them. We just got rid of them because they were in the way. Well, the prophet at that time went to Darius and said, No. You got to understand this. This was a deal made by Cyrus and pledging support for the Hebrews because of their God. Well, prove it, they said. Well, so happens that they put the word out to all the different, and you saw those cities up there. Put Cyrus the Great up. Map during Cyrus the Great or anything like that comes up. There were massive cities. Matter of fact, just the Babylonian area had four different capitals. I don't know how a country can have four different capitals, but they had four different capitals. And each of them had a well-funded library. In a library several hundred miles away, somebody was going through the shelves. And they found an old papyrus, the paper they made, they found an old papyrus scroll rolled up. And when they opened it up, it actually said, settlement made to or contract made with the Hebrews by Cyrus the Great. And here's the best thing. When they wrote, let me back up before I get a better one. Remember the story about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how the people were all jealous of the Hebrews and how well they were doing? So Nebuchadnezzar was tricked into saying, when you hear the bell ring and the temple sound and the trumpet sound, you have to bow down and worship my statue. Well, they knew that Daniel was not going to do it. But he signed a paper anyway because he probably didn't realize what was going on. So the noise went off, and what was Daniel doing? Standing up in his window praying to God. Well, Nebuchadnezzar was tore all to pieces. And then some, probably, because he trusted Daniel. Daniel had given him good advice. He had been a good administrator. But the king can't go back. In those times, the king could not go back on their word. They couldn't. It is written. It is then going to happen. Matter of fact, that's why he had to go down in the lion's den and, of course, was spared by God and the angels from that. Matter of fact, it also happened, if you remember, we talked about Esther a few minutes ago. Xerxes said, when you come in and you bow and all that kind of stuff, the same thing almost happened to Esther. She was almost put to death. Well, they want you to buy shoes or donate to somebody. Cyrus put on it, P.S., if anybody breaks this contract I made with the Jews, may they go to that person's house, pull a timber out of their house, which would be the crossbeam up at the top, impale them on it for all to see, and then tear the house down and cover it with animal dung so it won't ever be used again. You think he was serious about that or what? Yeah. So, because of that, when they found that paper promising that Babylon would do that for Israel, there you go. Look at all the different... I think it was in this city right here whose name I can't even say. I think they found it there in the library. When they found out that Cyrus had made that promise, they said, you know what? Not only will we give you money, not only will we give you support, we're going to have our soldiers guard you. You're going to have all the materials that you want. And we're glad to do it because nobody wants to be impaled by a beam of their house and their house tore down with everybody in it and made into a dung heap. I think that would not be your preference. Well, they started rebuilding the temple. I'm going to get my dates right. Under Sheshbazzar, they started rebuilding the temple in 536. Now, Cyrus came in 539, so it didn't take too long to get a turnaround. Well, all the local neighbors did not like the building. They did not have the right building permit. Oh, that's another job I've been on. Charlotte County and Collier County. They said, no, they were the people that Nebuchadnezzar had left behind to live there when he took the Israelites up to Babylon. Well, you got to quit. We don't need that. All the people want to live in the city. They don't want to live in the country. I mean, they just gave one excuse after another. And that's why they would attack the workers. That's why half of the workers would have to work and build the stones and stuff for the wall while the other half stood guard. Well, when Mr. Darius sends down a big bunch of troops, all of a sudden, they had, you know, like the welcome wagon came out. Oh, we're glad you're here. That's been an eyesight all this time. And then they rebuilt the temple. They started back full speed in 520 B.C. and finished it in 4 years at 516 B.C. So God was giving information to Isaiah that far in advance. I mean, told them that Babylon was going to capture them. They're all going to be slaves for 65, 75 years. It wasn't a pleasant thing to say, but that's what he did. It says this: gather together and come assemble, you fugitives from the nations. Ignorant. Wait a minute. You fugitives from the... Didn't we just talk about the all the Jews from around the world that had wanted to could go back to Jerusalem and live? They've been in nations all spread out. They've been in nations originally spread out from the Assyrians. The Assyrians, not the Assyrians. So they've been... So we're talking now, we're talking about from 740 B.C. to 1948. That's 1948 and another 75. That's a long time. What's that, 2720? Denise, you're the one with good math. What is that, 2800 years? Okay, thank you. I appreciate your affirmation. I see why you ran the whole business department of the University of Tennessee. By the way, did they fire the football coach yet? We'll talk on game day. We might actually win two in a row. That would be strange. So you gather together, 2,800 years before. You gather together. Fugitives. They came from Siberia. They came from African nations. They were from everywhere. You gather together, all part of Europe. Ignorant are those who carry about idols of wood, who pray to gods that cannot save. Declare what is to be presented. Let them take counsel together. Who foretold this long ago? Well, of course, the answer is God foretold it long ago. So he wants people to know now that it was told back then and to be prepared. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered all integrity. A word will not be revoked. Before me, oh my gosh, I think I've heard this before.
What verse?
I'm reading 23 and a half.
Okay.
Chapter 45, verse 23 and a half. Before me every knee will bow and every tongue will say, I think we use the word confess today, don't we? That's a song. I do believe that's a song, isn't it? Is it holy, holy, holy? No, yes. How about that? I remembered one. All who raged against him will come to him and be put to shame. But in the Lord, all the descendants of Israel will be found righteous and will exalt. So he's telling them what we're looking forward to today. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that promise has been made that far ago. But he had to reassemble Israel. All these things had to take place. And they have. When's the rapture coming? I don't know. Some of us thought it was going to be last Sunday night, Monday morning. Those in Bahamas really have seen the end of that. Bell rose down. This is chapter 46. Nebo stoops low. Their idols are borne by beasts of burden. Their images are carried about, are burdensome. The weary, they're burden for the weary. They stoop and bow down together, unable to rescue from the burden. They themselves go off into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob. All of you who remain of the house of Israel. The house of Jacob is all that remained of Israel. They were scattered. We've talked about that. Now, Jacob, we're going to talk to you now. You've still got 200 years, but you don't know it before I send Babylon in. And then another 80 years or so before the temple's rebuilt. You've still got a chance if you'll listen. Anybody ever been put on a, quote, restrictive diet? I'm not talking about that stuff you buy on TV. I'm talking about, you know, you can't have sugar. You can't have certain vegetables. Liver makes some people sick because it gives them too much iron. I mean, there's a lot of things. You say ice cream gives you hiccups. If you put too much chocolate on it, oh, that was me. Gluten free. Oh, we have people in the church that are gluten free. I don't know what people did. I guess just got sick, I guess, in the past. But gluten free. There's a lot of restrictions. Don't do it. It says I've told you. Even at your age, boy, this was written for us. Whom I've upheld you, since you were conceived and have carried you since your birth, even at your age and gray hairs. Yes. I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I made you and will carry you. I will sustain you and will rescue you. And how many times do we look to God for help? Then when we get it, how many times we forget about how hard we wanted that help and didn't really think we were going to need it anyway? Way too often. When you've got all the legal charges against churches and godly things and godly people today, and the Supreme Courts and the little court, to whom will you compare me or count me equal? To whom will you liken me that we may be compared? Some pour out gold from their bags and weigh out silver from their scales. They hire goldsmiths to make into a god, and they bow down and worship it. They lift it on their shoulders and they carry it. They set it in place, and there it stands from the spot it cannot move, though no one cries about it. It does not answer. It cannot save him from his troubles. He says, remember this, fixed in mind, take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, there is no other. You think he's kind of giving them a message. He's about put out with idol worship and forgetting to worship him.
Over.
And how well do they listen? If they started to listen, he wouldn't have to keep repeating it, would he? It isn't. People are people. We just have a different way of doing things. I have made it known the end from the beginning. I have made known the end from the beginning. We know what the end is death. I make it known the end from the beginning. From ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do what all that I please. From east I will summon the bird of prey. Well, now the east is where Cyrus came from when he came down to Israel. And when he came not down to Israel, when he... Oh, you're good. Cyrus was coming from this area down to attack Babylon and conquered this area. So he came from the east. Now, though they were north of Jerusalem, he wasn't fighting Jerusalem. He was fighting the Babylonians. We go this way. I didn't turn the page right. Here we go. What I have said I will bring about, what I have planned I will do. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted. Did you see it on TV today? Yesterday. There's a hurricane coming. Yes, sir. There's a mandatory evacuation. Yes, sir. Are you going? No. I born it here. I'm going to live here till I die. That's the Eastern Kentucky way, even though your house has been washed away five or six times. This is where my grandfather built his first farm or something like that. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, you who are far off from righteousness. I'll bring my righteousness near. It is not far away. My salvation will not be delayed. I will grant salvation to Zion, Jerusalem, my splendor to Israel. That man was seriously getting some messages from God. And you know how much attention they paid to it? None. It may have put off the invasion by Babylon a few decades, but not permanently. And one of these days, if I read the Bible right, God's going to look over to his right side and say, go get them, son. Go get them. I don't give them all the time they're going to get. Any questions or thoughts? We're going to pick up with chapter 4:7. Somebody write that down. 47 next week.